evening, everyone. Let's see if this one works now. That's better. Good evening. Welcome to the Simple Actions group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Grant, and I am an alcoholic.
Hey, Grant. Grant.
For all those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, wisdom to know the difference.
The Simple Actions group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. They are across the main foyer and up the small flight of stairs, kind of on a diagonal. At this time, please silence your cell phones. I'm going to do the same thing. All right, we're good. Also, we respectfully ask those present, please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA's simple actions. Our preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. It does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the steps discussed tonight. This evening, we are discussing Step 12, Part 2. And if you don't mind, will you please welcome our panel members, David and Evan. No. Come on. Wrong. Correct me.
Lincoln and Bertram or Eric.
I'm a failure tonight. No, I'm just not focusing this that well. So I'll read a first paragraph on page 96 is where we'll be starting off, and then our panel will share for a few minutes each on the reading. Just a reminder, the step we're on is step 12. The second half we have here says, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Page 96. Suppose now you are making your second visit to a man. He has read this volume and says he is prepared to go through with the 12 steps of the program of recovery. Having had the experience yourself, you can give him much practical advice. Let him know you are available if he wishes to make a decision and tell his story, but do not insist upon it if he prefers to consult someone else.
Guys, the coin flip.
Okay, I'm Lincoln, I'm an alcoholic.
Lincoln.
David, thanks for inviting us to come down here. My sobriety date is July 21st, 2003, and we have both come down from Richmond, so happy to be here, thanks. Let's see, so yeah, my experience with this section, what is this, the big book? What are we reading here? where was it? Okay. Yeah, so all right, so second visit to a man. I went through this book with my sponsor. I've had a few sponsors, and but I had one sponsor that you know, really took me through the book and was very particular about really everything in it, and he really outlined the way that this I guess this step or this part of this chapter unfolds, where you know, you've made a visit to a man, and literally like what happens on this second visit and everything, and there's a, I guess the takeaway for me, what I got from a lot of that, because it's not you know, there's been situations where it has unfolded like this and many that haven't, you know, but the takeaway was that, you know, when I have had the opportunity to visit with somebody like that, I can talk all about my drinking and match kind of where this person is. If their mood is light, then I can recall some of my more lighthearted stories. If they're really down in the dumps, then I might share some of those stories with them, mainly to just try to allow for some identification, you know. And that's also what happened to me when I was 12-stepped. But I go so far as I can tell all about my drinking, but I don't mention God, or I don't get into the spiritual part of the recovery. I can get all the way up to that point, and I don't mention that for fear that it might prejudice somebody. Like I would have been prejudiced too, if you know, if the day came and I'm ready to quit drinking, and I am lucky enough to talk to another alcoholic, and the very first thing they do is come over and start telling me all about God. I mean, you know, I'm probably not going to be all ears to that kind of message. But what happened, and as it happens, actually, my brother, Eric, was involved in 12-stepping me. And when he came over that day, he talked to me about his drinking, you know, and it was really, you know, like one alcoholic talking to another alcoholic. I mean, we're brothers, but it was something different was happening there. And it was really being in AA where I realized what was happening. Was that it was the first time that somebody was talking to me about their drinking rather than having another talk with somebody about my drinking. And what are you going to do about your drinking and all that? And and I was able to identify, you know. And so, anyway, yeah, there's a lot, you know, having some experience with getting sober and going through the steps. You know, meeting with somebody like this, I do have a lot that I can offer them, you know, and make myself available. I'll leave it at that, Eric. I'll pass to you.
Okay. My name is Eric, and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is January 20th of 2000. My brother Lincoln and I are here from Richmond. My home group is the Outlaw Safecracker Group on Mondays and Thursdays at 7 o'clock. We're a speaker meeting on Mondays. And I think several folks here, definitely Dave and a few others, have come up to help us out with that. And we're a book discussion on Thursdays at 7 o'clock. Call-up discussion out of the book, which is good. Anyway. It didn't happen. Maybe it sort of did happen like that for me. I mean, I came to an AA meeting and I heard people talking about their experience with drinking. And I was overwhelmed because the things that I was hearing that were going on were things that I hadn't heard anybody really talk about before. It's like when you're drinking, when I'm drinking, I'm telling myself a certain story, you know, while I'm drinking. And it's usually a story about how to get more booze or whatever I did the night before, you know, it doesn't really matter or whatever. I don't hear the truth about it. And when I got to AA, I started hearing the truth about my drinking. So that was my first visit really with anything to do with Alcoholics Anonymous. When I asked somebody to be my sponsor, he asked me to some specific questions about what I was willing to do and gave me some directions about what to start doing. And the whole point of the steps is for me to recover so I can in turn help somebody else so I can stay alive. That's it. I mean, this is not, a lot of great things happen. I get to live a life today that's totally different in a lot of respects, you know, spiritually, definitely physically, mentally, than I used to live before. I still have alcoholism, but I get to live an entirely different quality of life because of what the process of the steps has done. But that is not sustainable or spiritual if I don't return it. So that's the purpose. I'm not trying to give you like the Cliff Notes deal here, but I mean, it's important for me to remember that and to practice that. You know, I was at a conference this weekend, and a man was talking. He'd been sober quite a while, and he was talking about, you know, it's his duty and it's his privilege to do this work, and it is a duty in a sense of, I do feel a sense of duty when I'm working with another alcoholic. I don't know, I can't describe it. If somebody needs help and they're like me and they don't have the ability to stop drinking and they drink when they don't want to, or they drink when this or that or whatever's going on, it's like there's something inside of me that has changed as a result of these steps that I, you know, and it's not because of, you know, I'm some great guy or anything by any stretch. It's just something that I think that God has done, has definitely changed. So, and it's my privilege to do it because it is a privilege to work with another alcoholic. If I'm with some, I had a guy last night that I was talking to in a meeting, one of the guys I was sponsoring, and I met with him one time. It's funny because like we didn't get to the second meeting because he canned me, so oh well. But he's a good guy. He saw somebody else and he decided he wanted to go in a different direction, and that's fine. But on our first meeting, you know, we sat down and we talked, and our first meeting was really in an AA meeting, and that's where a lot of first meetings happen. You know, you go to a meeting like just like this meeting, and maybe there's, you know, somebody who's just alone, or you can kind of pick out who. I know everybody knew I was new when I got to AA, right? I mean, you couldn't really hide it. I'm sporting a camouflage Budweiser hat in the AA meeting, so it's kind of like, well, definitely something. So people came up to me and they had a lot of first meetings with me, and they were just trying to, you know, make me feel comfortable. And that's my purpose in AA meetings, is to do the best I can to try to help somebody feel more comfortable in any way I can. And with this guy in particular, we talked a lot about drinking. I really was trying to find out if he was an alcoholic. And we talked a lot about my drinking, talked all about the excitement of just going to the store to get it, talked about just drinking, you know, all the different things we drink and the different things, and, you know, we were connecting. And it did have, as you said earlier, maybe in our prayer, about a message of depth and weight, and it was something that he identified with. And so we continued to talk, and we met one time, and he made a decision that he wanted me to be a sponsor. So he made sort of a decision. This decision in this regard is, I believe it's a decision, it's a third step. It's like, okay, they make a decision, I want to follow through the rest of the program, let's do it, baby. Let's get it going. They didn't go that way with this guy, but it's gone that way with many others that I sponsor, and other people that I hope to sponsor too. So the important thing for me to do, like Lincoln was talking about, was to talk to people about my drinking, just like the people did for me when I got here. Nobody was, well, a couple people were telling me I should probably stop drinking because I was still drinking when I got here. So, but people were like, you know, you might want to stop doing what you're doing. But for the most part, it was people were talking to me about the way they drank, how they felt when they drank. And really what I was attractive was the fact that they just looked like they weren't concerned about drinking anymore. A lot of you don't look like you're concerned about it anymore. Most of you look like you're not really concerned about it. It's a crazy thing, isn't it? And it's the only thing I was concerned about forever, right? All right. Good.
All right, we're going to be on page 98 now. It is not the matter of giving that is in question, or when and how to give. That often makes the difference between failure and success. The minute we put our work on a service plane, the alcoholic commences to rely upon our assistance rather than upon God. He clamors for this or that, claiming he cannot master alcohol until his material needs are cared for. Nonsense. Some of us have taken very hard knocks to learn the truth. J. job or no job, wife or no wife. We simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence on God. Burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he can get well regardless of anyone. The only condition is that he trusts in God and clean house.
Yeah, it's true. I've sponsored some guys that have really had some trouble with that, and I have had trouble with that myself too. I remember when I first got here, I remember thinking that if I just had more money, like I wouldn't have hit the bottom that I hit, you know? Like really most of the problems that I'm having could have been fixed with money. And, you know, I know a lot of people who drink like I do, and, you know, the scrapes I'm getting into, if I could just, you know, that kind of thinking. I also thought that when I quit drinking, that the problem was solved at that point too, you know, that really what I had when I got here was just a drinking problem, and if I could just not drink and not want to drink, then I'd be good to go. And I had no idea of, you know, what things were gonna look like when I had not had a drink for a while and not really changed. You know, my life looked pretty much the same as it did when I got here, but I couldn't blame it on alcohol anymore or anything else, you know. But you know, but I guess, you know, what is no human power can remove my alcoholism, you know, which is a shame. I've certainly fell victim to that belief. I've had different higher powers, you know, in the form of like girlfriends and whatnot, I don't know. Anyway, yeah, some of the guys that I've sponsored, you know, probably the trend is that they're mostly really smart guys, just have got a lot of ideas, you know, about what things need to look like. But I mean, I'm talking about myself too. Actually, I remember being at a place where I had my heart just broken, and I was just a pretty sad. So I was a mess, and I was sitting on my front steps, just like, oh, down in the dumps, and my brother, you know, came by, and we were talking about something, and he was asking me, he's like, well, you know, are you working with any new guys? It's like, no, you know, I would, but I'm just really, really sad right now, you know, and I mean, it's a good idea. I think I probably will at some point. But I've just got to feel better first. I can't really help anybody right now because I'm just too sad, you know. And I believe that. And so, you know, I wanted to get better and then take the steps, you know, instead of taking the steps to get better. And so I've sponsored some guys like that, and I can see that. You know, I think of a couple guys in particular that were really laying it all out to me and telling me all of the things that needed to fall into place before they could really get sober, you know, or telling me all the reasons why this time they could actually stay sober in spite of the fact that they weren't, you know, really following, you know, the program outlined in the book, or even more simply, they weren't doing what I was doing, you know. You know, one guy telling me, well, I'm on Anabuse, so I can't drink. I was like, well, you need to talk to my buddy Scott, you know, because he used to drink on Anabuse, and it can happen, you know, and like no human power is going to keep you sober. And, you know, I need to get, you know, I got this stuff going on with my kids and this and that, and then I'll be able to fill in the blank. And like, that's me, man, you know. And I mean, I've said it, I've had the realization that for me, I guess, it is this belief that I feel like in a way I'm almost like caught alcoholism in Alcoholics Anonymous because I just didn't know what it was until I had been here for a while. And I had to understand some things about what it is that I really suffer from before I was going to be willing to do any of this stuff, you know.
I don't know if I felt like I really, I don't know that I felt like I wanted it all back, like right now, but I definitely was, like about 3 months sober, I was like, damn, I cannot believe, I don't know if it's just a sense of just wasting my life away or whatever it was, but I was really aware of what was going on. I mean, I was thrilled to be sober for a couple months, you know, whatever. I couldn't believe that I hadn't had a drink. It was overwhelming. But it's also kind of like, I don't know, things that have come back into my life have just kind of happened. It's been not an overnight matter. It's been it's just happened over lots of time and lots of meetings and lots of whatever. And nothing really came back material-wise and all that kind of stuff. And I see a lot of guys that I sponsor or just people I know, friends of mine, or maybe they're newer, and it's just like, 6 months sober, bought a house, engaged to get married, baby on the way, you know, and I mean, just like, it's something. I can't imagine having that stuff going on at that time in my life. I mean, I was crazy. I just was so nuts. And so, I don't know, I mean, I'm not passing judgment on that. The book is pretty clear about what can happen when I start depending on other things besides God to stay sober. And it doesn't really look like that to somebody what's going on. I've had the experience of, I guess, having somebody or something else be my higher power, you know, just an obsession. Man, my instincts are just nuts, right? When you get in here, all my instincts for sex, security, and society are all over the place. I have no real, they're not rounded off at all. And it's what's been driving me my whole life. I'm just a reactionary kind of guy. And I've been running around making a whole lot of mistakes because of that, just this drive. And when the drink comes away, it's just like it gets to a whole new level, you know? And I remember my first year of sobriety, I was all obsessed with this girl at work. I was working in this bar, you know, and she was just as much of a drunk as I was, you know, and I just was convinced that it was it, you know, that was her and, you know, all this, and she's gonna get her sober and all this kind of thing. And it was just crazy. And there was just no convincing me otherwise. I mean, I can't believe I stayed sober. I mean, it was just my sponsor just was kind of, everybody around was just kind of corralling me into the AA meeting, you know. And so, but my dependence was there, but, you know, I had good sponsorship and he was just very insistent about me praying and taking the steps and just staying focused on taking those actions. And so until this, whatever it was, just kind of passed, you know. But I just, material stuff never precedes the spiritual. It just doesn't. And if it does, there's a very short shelf life, I think, for how long it will stay around. It's just, it doesn't work that way. I believe that. I've seen it. I've had the experience with that. And the question, as it says, I mean, you know, would I need to burn into the what they're talking about, what I believe they're talking about is this dependence upon, if I start sponsoring somebody, and I start trying to direct somebody's life and everything that they're doing, you know, and I've done that. I mean, early on, I was very evangelistic around 5 years sober, and I was just nutty with the big book. I'm like, oh, I'm sober, oh, yeah, being crazy, as we are. And that's not the approach that we're talking about here. But the approach is for me to share my experience, but to encourage somebody to find a power that's going to work in their life. And I am more likely today to be like, you know, here's some prayer that has worked for me, try this, you know, or this is something, you know, what, you know, share some experience about seeking God. That action is how, you know, that's the part of it I understand about trusting God, is the action of seeking. I mean, that's it. Because for me, I was always hearing people say these things in AA meetings that they sounded great. I mean, like they were just levitating from the podium, you know. I'm like, oh my God, yeah, how do you get spiritual like that guy? Or that woman, you know, it's just crazy. They're like, trusting God, that sounds great. How do you do that? You know, give me the specific instructions for trusting God, you know. And the steps is really the process that happens in, you know. And so I just encourage the people that I'm working with to keep taking the simple actions in the name of your group. And there are some very simple ones that my sponsor was laying out for me when I got here. You know, I was supposed to pray every day. Call them every day, go to a meeting every day, You know, there was all these everyday things. Take a shower every day, brush my teeth every day, shave every day, eat breakfast every day, you know. All, I mean, just, you know, clean up, you know. I needed to just start living. I didn't know how to, like, do that kind of stuff when I got here. I was, you know, a couple steps away from being an animal in a lot of respects, man. Jesus. It's ridiculous. And so I, to burden to the conscience of somebody, I don't know. I mean, I think it's just, we forget, you know. I mean, I forget to this day. I can, you know, I'll call my sponsor about something and, you know, he'll ask me, well, are you following the directions of the 11th step? And so, in that sense, I guess he's helping to burn that into my, you know, into my mind. That's go back to the solution, go back to AA, to the steps that are outlined here. And that's what we try to do. Thank
you. So we're still going to be on page 98. Now, the domestic problem. There may be divorce, separation, or just strained relations. When your prospect has made such reparations as he can to his family and has thoroughly explained to them the new principles by which he is living, he should proceed to put those principles into action at home. That is, if he is lucky enough to have a home. Though his family be at fault in many respects, he should not be concerned about that. He should concentrate on his own spiritual demonstration. Argument and fault finding are to be avoided like the plague. In many homes, this is a difficult thing to do, but it must be done if any results are to be expected. If persisted in for a few months, the effect on a man's family is sure to be great. The most incompatible people discover they have a basis upon which they can meet. Little by little, the family may see their own defects and admit them. These can then be discussed in an atmosphere of helpfulness and friendliness.
Yeah. Where to start on that? I remember, when I first got sober, I was single, but I did have some ego, a lot of ego stuff going on, you know, and I had maybe like 30 days sober and I was going to work and just kind of letting everybody at work know how they could make some really positive changes in their life too and be super sober like this guy, you know, and yes. I mean, I'm the guy that like, I'm, pee in the bed, barely getting out of bed to get to work, getting to work late, dirty clothes, just a freaking mess. And but just a couple short weeks later, I might be able to help you turn it all around, And it's that kind of, I mean, that's been the story for me, and a lot of like that theme of, you know, the speed at which the ego rebuilds itself. You know, my ego rebuilds very quickly. You know, I am to have it smashed here, and ego deflation at depth is something that I need, and it's come to me in a lot of different ways. But man, if it doesn't just like bounce back so quick sometimes, and I can show up to situations and be really arrogant. And not even really know it, you know. I can come across as if I've been slighted or I'm being wronged, overlooked, you're mistreating me, and really it's just that alcoholic ego kind of rearing up again. But I get what the paragraph is talking about, you know, in a situation where there's a family and that family dynamic. And so often, you know, that partner, you know, we'll call it the wife. Maybe that person's even in Al-Anon or maybe they're religious and they go to church or something. You know, so many times they already have a life that makes sense and has been working and has been actually holding the family together. And then the alcoholic gets sober and is, you know, all I can think of is like getting the whiteboard out and maybe putting some like book of the month, like maybe suggesting some spiritual readings for the family, and you know, and you should get my brand of spirituality quick and all that kind of stuff, you know. But you know, without alcohol, you know, I haven't had a drink in a little bit, but I still have alcoholism, and I am married now, and there's some principles here that really show up in my house. My wife is in AA too, and you know, that idea of what am I saying? I've been stuck so many times thinking that my solution is going to come from her changing, right? You know, like if I can, and I can make her change. Like I can be the one that makes her change, and then I'm going to be happy. And it might be from just pointing out where she's wrong, or just really making it very clear where I'm right. You know, and I can be so justified. Like, I mean, I go like scientific courtroom. Like I want to have evidence. Like this is why I'm right. Like any sane person would agree with me, and all this stuff. And it's really been a process, and I say that because it's only been recently where a lot of this stuff is actually changing, and what that means is that I'm actually changing, she's not. All right, where am I going with this, right? So what I've seen happen, my sponsor has often brought me back to like the Serenity Prayer just for the sake of the simplicity in it, you know, pointing out like things that you can and can't change, you know, like you're not going to change her. Even that sounds arrogant because like she doesn't need to, right? But I can change, and I don't, that's what I do, is I'm a fault finder. I mean, it's just, I'm wired like that. I find fault with everything and everybody, you know, and I don't want to a lot of times, you know, I just want to like get along and all that. And then I'll just see the way that you're, are you really doing that way? Like, why? I just want to help you do it better. And, you know, it's just a mess. And, but I've been able to just chill out with some of that stuff a little bit, you know, fairly recently, and it's been good. And then what I find is that it is reciprocal, right? Like, if I'm cool and I just live and let live a little bit, then, like, I've seen more evidence of, I'll get off of her and the other people coming to me and admitting like, hey, you know what? I really screwed up, right? You know, I was rude to you, or that there's been more, instances where somebody has been willing to come to me and admit their fault or have that change facilitated. If I just kind of stay out of it, you know, with that atmosphere of helpfulness and friendliness. Actually, I gotta watch out for that too, because like I don't know how to be helpful, man. Like I just come across as like running the show. I just can't just like let me be helpful. I'm like telling people how to do stuff all the time. But anyway, let me get out of this.
You're doing good, baby. It's all right. I believe that what I give is what's received, you know, and it's difficult. I've struggled with my mom quite a bit. I have throughout my sobriety, and I'm the struggle, I'm the problem. And so it talks about me concentrating on my own spiritual demonstration. And that relationship and all others seem to work best if I am in doubt, when I pray before I engage that person, you know, when I pray and I ask God to help me for whatever is going on, you know, help me just, you know, not take things personally, help me be useful, you know, the four-step prayer is really helpful. This is a sick person. How can I be helped with them? God, save me from being angry. Thy will not mine be done. It's great. I mean, I cannot tell you that it hasn't. It's worked so many times. That's a great demonstration for me. You know, I've had the experience of not doing it, calling Lincoln, being like, hey man, check this, look what just happened. You know, I just destroyed this whole afternoon because I didn't, you know. Or I call Lincoln, I'm like, yeah, you know, I was nervous about something. I prayed, I talked to mom, you know, we hung out or whatever, and everything was awesome, you know. And it's a matter of practicing that stuff. I'm the one, like Lincoln's made a really good point. We're a lot alike in that respect. I'm a fault finder as well. And I've done it with him. I mean, earlier in sobriety, probably we didn't, he's probably just sick and tired of me trying to sponsor him all the time. So I just leave him alone, But I love our relationship today. I mean, I do, and I think he does too. I mean, I don't do that stuff with him anymore, So I think we have a really strong relationship that comes from respect, and I just don't, we talk about a lot of personal stuff, but it's in a much different tone. It's not like, fault finding, probably, Mm-hmm. I'm sure I was like that, absolutely sure of that. And that's not a good way to be. I can't fault find with God either. I tell you, I've done spent a number of time, number of years doing that, blaming God for whatever mess it is I've created. That doesn't work too well at all. Okay, good.
Thanks. We're on page 100 now. Both you and the new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. When we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. Follow the dictates of a higher power, and you will presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances.
Yeah, man, I can't tell you how many times there's a meeting in Richmond that reads this, and I mean, I don't know how many times I've just been sitting in that meeting and just the life is just falling apart, and I'm listening to this just like hanging on, and there's a lot of hope in that passage, and that's how it's been for me, man. Like when I'm desperate, my ears are open and I'm listening and I am reasonable and seeking and all this stuff, and when things when life is going great, I start thinking more like day by day, like every day I gotta do that, I've had some experience with and really it comes down to like working with others, really, like how this can happen, that like in the middle of the storm, I've been able to find peace, I went through a divorce in sobriety that was really, really hard, and I was lucky to have some pretty good direction during that, and I was also lucky to be like right in the middle of AA when that was going on. I had a handful of guys that I was sponsoring, and I don't know, man. It just it worked. I mean, being able to I don't know. It just feels weird, I guess, in a way to like overanalyze it. It just worked. I mean, like calling these guys up and seeing what was going on with them, and I mean, I never really forgot what was going on with me, but it just made it different somehow, I don't know. It just feels weird now to kind of think about it and talk about it. It makes me, like, I feel like I'm about to speculate, what may have happened or whatever. I know that I was filled with a lot of anger and confusion and sorrow and a lot of pretty intense emotions. And one time I actually acted on some of that and I had to make some amends for that. But like for me, that's pretty good. Like, I only like sought out actively revenge once. Okay, so. But even that was a pretty good lesson, because I thought there was going to be some relief in that, and it was just kind of a trick. Like it actually felt worse, But Yeah, you know, this stuff works, man. It was pointed out to me that, you know, follow the dictates of a higher power and you'll presently live in a new and wonderful world. You know, that promise of, you know, I get to have that now, regardless of what's going on with me now. You know, if I'm willing to do this, I can get relief now. And I've seen it work, man. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, like I've come from a point of disbelief, of not thinking that that would work, to feeling pretty grateful that that's one of the things that I believe probably more than anything, you know, is that I know that that is the thing that will save me, you know. So.
When we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. I'm like, how do you put yourself in God's hands? That's where I want to get. I want to get up in the hands, you know? Put me in there. And I wouldn't know how to do that. I mean, tell me something like that when I'm, you know, I don't know, just way off in space lit up on Thunderbird. I have no idea what you're talking about, you know? I didn't know anything about how to get into God's hands when I got sober. People were saying this kind of stuff, and it sounded, and everybody was smiling like they really knew what it meant, you know, and like they believed it. And I just was like, I don't know, it just sounded nutty. And how do you get into God's hands? I mean, imagine right now if you just believed that everything was okay. Just imagine that. I mean, if everything was put aside, all the crap, the job, not enough money, the relationship, whatever's going on with you, you know, my car, my bills, my mom, whatever else, you know, imagine all that stuff was just fine. Everything is good. And that is a possibility because the problem is in my consciousness, man. It's right between my ears all the time, you know. If I just believed everything was fine, I'd be doing awesome, you know. And that would be putting myself in God's hands. But I don't know how to do that. I can't seem to fix my messed up brain with my messed up brain. It doesn't work. So fortunately, that's why I have a sponsor. And then there's 12 steps. And there's simple actions to take in Alcoholics Anonymous. And all that stuff rolled up together in a nice little taco, man, is God's hands. It's delicious. It's awesome. And it's the truth. It is. The darkest times I've had in sobriety, there have been, I mean, you know, Lincoln's pulled me back from the cliff a couple times, man. You know, I've been right on the edge. And like, not so long ago, man, like 2 years ago, I was in just a dark spot and I believed everything was just bad. I believed it was because a certain situation happened. I placed my dependence upon somebody else as a higher power, you know, and it was just, I did all the wrong, you know, whatever. And it was just the dark. It was the worst year of my sobriety. It's 17 years sober, 16 years sober. I couldn't believe it. I was like, God, you got to be kidding me. Mm-hmm. And I believed everything was wrong. I did not feel like I was in God's hands. So how do you get from there back into God's hands? So fortunately, I had a sponsor. I had commitments in my home group. I was sponsoring other guys. Still always been sponsoring guys in Alcoholics Anonymous. I have commitments outside of AA. And I just kept taking the actions. And one day at a time, one action at a time, 1 hour at a time, I kind of slowly started getting back up into the hands, baby. I mean, it was good. And it took a while because nothing is different about that situation today other than my consciousness. I just don't really care anymore. It's like magic, you know? It's like it doesn't have the grip on me. Maybe that's something like drinking, right? I mean, alcohol was the only thing I cared about. I would have done anything to drink, really, when it comes down to it. You look at all the stuff that you do to drink and all the decisions you make and the relationships you destroy and all the things that the selfishness that I exhibited with all my relationships, the dishonesty, all that stuff. And I kind of forgot where I was going with that. I guess it's similar to just, you know, it's a problem that I cannot seem to solve and I have to get in God's hands to where it can be solved.
Taco.
Huh?
Taco.
That's right. Get back in the taco. That's right. Honesty. My sponsor was telling me, he was like, when you're honest with somebody, that's when you're turning it over to God. And I was having a difficult time being honest in that situation. And when I'm not honest, I'm playing God. It's sometimes it's really difficult to be honest with people if you think they're going to be upset with you, right? Because you don't want anybody to be upset. I want everything to be fine. But I'm just straight up honest. It's just like I'm honest, and then you just have to kind of see what happens. That's the deal. And I just wasn't doing that, and I was paying the price. So I'm really thankful that there's a way to be in God's hands today. It's outlined in the 12 steps. I got to go through the process, and there's a whole lot of other actions that we can talk about here, you know, about being in a home group and having commitments and things like that. All that stuff, it gives my brain a break from thinking about whatever it just is destined to think about all the time. I mean, it's just going to be nutty a lot of the time up here. And I cannot sit around and figure it out. I've never successfully sat down and worked on a problem in my head. Maybe non-alcoholics can do it, man. I don't know. I don't know what's up with that. I've read weird books, you know. I've read some not weird books that are good, you know, more spiritual in nature. But I've read some others that are just kind of more designed for, I don't know what they're designed for. But anyway, all right.
We're still on page 100. Assuming we are spiritually fit, we can do all sorts of things alcoholics are not supposed to do. People have said we must not go where liquor is served. We must not have it in our homes. We must shun friends who drink. We must avoid moving pictures which show drinking scenes. We must not go into bars. Our friends must hide their bottles if we go to their houses. We mustn't think or be reminded about alcohol at all. Our experience shows that this is not necessarily so. We meet these conditions every day. An alcoholic who cannot meet them still has an alcoholic mind. There is something the matter with his spiritual status. His only chance of sobriety would be someplace like the Greenland ice cap. And even there, an Eskimo might turn up with a bottle of scotch and ruin everything. Ask any woman who has sent her husband to distant places on the theory he would escape the alcohol problem.
Yeah, that's basically like, would be saying, my sobriety comes from avoiding alcohol, you know. Where to go with that? It's the crux of that is that like my spiritual condition is either fit or it's not, you know. If my spiritual condition is fit, you know, what I know about that is that I've been relieved, you know, of that obsession to drink. It's just not there. And if I'm not, it basically says I'm not going to be very wise to play around with that. You know, I've never had, you know, a real craving to drink and then just didn't drink. You know, all I've had is, you know, really the miracle of some kind of change occurring in me where that craving just kind of went away, you know. And, it's not so much about, I mean, it's a, what a, benefit or even how exciting it was for me to realize that, like, okay, like I can go do all these things, but that's not, I mean, I guess that's not even really the big point for me. It's just like kind of comes back to some of the things that we've been talking about, is that like my solution is not of me, you know. My solution is going to come from a power greater than me, you know, a non-human power. And if I'm connected to that, and if I do some of the things that we do here, then I'm going to change, you know. And at that point, I'll be free. And when I'm free, then yes, I can go anywhere and do anything. And I've got some experience of doing that, and it's pretty remarkable, you know. I remember, a couple of things come to mind. I remember going to a party one time. The person that I was with when we left, she was kind of upset, and I couldn't figure out what she was so upset about. And she was saying, well, just because everybody was just drinking so much. And I was blown away because I didn't even notice that anybody was drinking. For all I knew, like, nobody was drinking at all. I mean, it blew me away, you know. I mean, I got around to her concerns later, but I was like, wow, like, that's amazing, you know. But when you think about it, it is. For a guy like me, like, I don't forget about alcohol. You know, it doesn't happen. But non-alcoholics, that's the other thing I noticed, is I've seen non-alcoholics forget about alcohol. I went to this other party, actually it was like a band practice, I guess, playing some music, and one of the guys comes in with a six-pack of beer. First thing I noticed was that he thought a six-pack was somehow, like, gonna do something for all of us, you know, like. So he rolls in with his little six-pack, you know, and like, let's get the party started, and whatever. And he goes and puts it in the fridge, and then everybody forgot that he brought beer, except me. I'm the only sober guy there. And I keep looking around like, when are they going to break it out, you know? And they never do. They all forgot that he brought beer over. I'm like, what is this? Like, you know, but I was safe. Like, I wasn't there, like, salivating. It was just more, like, curious, you know. But, like, I'm free, you know, assuming that I'm in fit spiritual condition. I'm seeing the clock. I better pass.
That's funny. I was at band practice one time. They broke out a little bottle of, I don't know, probably some whiskey or something. And then they poured, like, these little, everybody had, like, a little tiny glass, poured a little bit in there. And then, like, you know, we're just kind of playing along and, like, I mean, I just love whiskey so much, and I was so obsessed with it the whole time. I was like, that's not going to be enough, guys. It's just not going to be enough. Assuming we're spiritually fit, we could do all sorts of things alcoholics are not supposed to do. So what is spiritually fit? And what is it that I'm not supposed to do? Who says I'm not supposed to do stuff? I guess what's spiritually unfit is when I'm full of resentment and fear, you know? And that's how I came in here. And that's it in a nutshell. It's resentment and fear. And a whole lot of just misconduct in my relationships. And so, an obsession. I mean, I think it's all bound in there together. When I treat that stuff, it's just like it just gets, when I take the steps, I take an inventory and I share it, that stuff gets moved out of the way. And as it says, the sunlight of the Spirit shines down, you know, and that's definitely been my experience because I haven't had an obsession to drink in a long time. It just got plucked at some point. It has not returned. It's not like I haven't been resentful. I mean, I've been very resentful. But I've continued to try to treat that and to come here and do and to try to get back into spiritual fitness. And I really don't believe I can stay sober physically or emotionally if I make a mess and run around and don't clean it up. I heard a guy, I was going to meetings when I first got sober and somebody was saying something and it sounded pretty good. He said, it's better to give a resentment than to get one. I was like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. And that is just not correct. I mean, I guess you could give somebody a resentment, but you're gonna pay. You always pay. I always pay. I cannot give and not receive it. I just can't. I cannot do it. It's not possible. It's a spiritual law just as much as there's gravity. It just can't happen. At some point or another, it's going to happen. So, I don't know. I heard a lot of stuff at some of the meetings I was going to, but we don't have enough. That's in the second hour of this meeting. I was working in a bar when I got sober. And it's not because of any miraculous thing to do with me, because, I mean, it's just a testament that simple actions, I keep saying it, but it's the truth, of Alcoholics Anonymous work. I got a sponsor. My sponsor told me what to do. He didn't tell me to quit my job. It's the only thing I knew how to do was work in the restaurant business. I mean, eventually I left because I was just tired. Stayed up until 4 o'clock in the morning. I was just tired of watching people do the dumb stuff that I've been doing my entire life. But for the time that I was there, you know, it just seemed to be removed, you know, and I was able to be there. And it was only because I was following his directions, and that's it, you know. I've had a lot of experiences like Lincoln's talking about. It's like, you know, when you run into an ex, you're just like, you know, clearly you all are much more healed than I am, a lot more spiritual. But, you know, you get that rush, that something inside of you. It's just like that the connection's not quite dead, at least for you or whatever. And but that was how it was with alcohol. I mean, I'd be driving to 7-Eleven every night after I got off tended bar, and I'd just load up with like chocolate eclairs and, you know, just whatever, chocolate, you know. And the first few months, it was just kind of like, it wasn't like it was a toss up between chocolate eclairs and Budweiser, but I definitely was feeling that tractor beam pulling me towards the case, you know. And I would just get nervous sometimes when I was in the grocery store. I would just see the, you know, Kroger came up with this. They didn't have that wine aisle or whatever, that beer aisle. It's just, it's an impressive. I mean, it's so much beer. So, and today, it's like I'll sometimes go down that thing just trying to get to the Jif, because that's what I want, you know? I want as much Jif as I can handle. And I just, it's just kind of like, you know, there's that 30-pack, and I just keep on going. I mean, it's something has changed, you know? And it's God, as a result of following these simple directions, that's doing for me what I can't do for myself. That's it.
Thanks. All right, that's the end of the sharing portion. We have a self-support, Seven Tradition states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the Seven Tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district, area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Although the amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world, we may want to remember that a dollar does not support as many services as it used to. Are there any AA-related announcements? Ralph.
My name is Ralph, and I am an alcoholic.
Hey, Ralph.
Ralph.
The Noonday Group in Virginia Beach at the Woodside Center is going to be open all day, Thanksgiving Day, from 6 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. They'll be meeting every hour and a half. There'll be goodies there to eat and whatnot. You're welcome to bring a dish if you wish.
Thanks, Ralph. Any other announcements? I got three. The first one of which is for anybody who is willing and able to help us afterwards, those last couple of rows of chairs after the meeting need to be stacked up and put away. So if you can stay around and give us a hand, that'd be appreciated. This Saturday, November the 10th, there's Gratitude Breakfast. The flyer's up here if you want more information off of it, but it's at Bayside Presbyterian Church over on Yule Road in Virginia Beach. It starts at 9:30, even though the flyer says 9 a.m. But if you are interested and can get there a little early, I'm sure they can use a hand setting up, preparing food, etc. So please come out and join and be a part of it. It'll be a pretty great event. Next Monday, November the 12th, this home group, Simple Actions, is having supper and a speaker, which we do about quarterly. We have a speaker come into town or somebody from around town come in and share a little experience, strength of hope. We have Merv L. coming from Charlottesville, which is going to be pretty excellent. So hopefully y'all can come join us. If you get here at 6 o'clock, we'll have some food. If you can bring a dish, please do. If not, just join us for some fellowship. And at 7 o'clock, Merv's going to knock it out the park for us. So if you need some information or you want to take flyers back to your home group, there's some lovely orange flyers right over here on the table that you can take with you tonight. Any other announcements that I missed? All right. Simple Actions is a home group. If you are interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hands. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We just want to get your first name to welcome you.
Hi, I'm Spencer, and I've been sober for 13 days.
Welcome, Spencer. Hi, Spencer. That's it.
All right.
Right on, Cody. Welcome.
Yeah.
Right on. Welcome.
Welcome.
Michael.
Michael, welcome. Well, don't be shy. There'll be people after the meeting who can chat with you if you're new. All right. There's literature. It says it pointed out. There's literature over there. It's free if you can fold it or put it in your pocket. If it's a book or a bound piece of literature, there's a cost to it. See one of the home group members after the meeting to purchase any of the literature that is bound. Sponsorship question. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I will be available at this table after the close of the meeting. Please feel free to come up and talk to me, and I promise I won't bite, but I might get your name wrong. Wow, I try to make that funny.
Tough room.
Too far gone. Reminder, smokers, please use the butt cam provided outside. Stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. In closing, can I please ask y'all to give our lovely panel a round of applause. Thanks to all who participated, and after we clean up, all are invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on the stuff discussed tonight at the meeting after the meeting, which will be held at Plaza del Sol, which is just up Colonial, right around 21st. If you cross over the train tracks, you went too far. And if you have any other questions, I'm sure there's many people here who will probably be there who can give you a hand and find any way. Can I get a volunteer to read the last two paragraphs on 164? Morning. Oh, Johnny.
Thank you.
Let's go to the meeting of the Lord's Prayer. Thank you.
Father,
our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.